position. He kicked about 3 pounds of haggis that time because it hardly got off the ground.
Play, thrill, win with LotterySport.lu.
Let's talk sport on Today Radio.
Kia ora and good and oven from episode 287. Can you believe it? 287. It is the 30th of April. Do you know what that means? Boys, boys, boys.
Tomorrow's a holiday.
Tomorrow's a holiday because it's the first time. What do you mean? So you're on holiday every day, brother.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good. Yeah. Good point.
It is a holiday tomorrow, but what a day to be. I mean, with this weather, fabulous.
Man, I was out there today on a terrace, you know, having a nice drink.
On a terrace?
Yeah.
Terrace. What, before the show?
Yeah. Can I say that?
Of course you can. You know what it is? 30th of April. If I said there's 31 more sleeps, what does that mean?
The 31st of May.
Yep. Guess what's happened on the 31st of May?
Oh.
Is that the marathon?
That is the marathon.
There you go.
Guess what? Welcome to the studio, Mr. Eric Francois. That's correct.
Hello.
Rolled off my tongue.
Yes.
Yeah. This is Mr. Lux Marathon.
This is the man.
This is the legend.
The ING Marathon is like legendary. When I first came to Luxembourg, that's what everybody said in the summer was the event to be at.
And yeah, so this is an honor. Good to know.
It's an honor, honestly. I was just like, yeah, who's behind this? And yeah. Here he is.
I mean, just take a think of it. When we think of Luxembourg, what are the first things that come to mind? The Luxembourg ING Marathon, I should say.
The Luxembourg, yeah.
Is that fair to say?
That's wonderful, wonderful to hear, and I hope that more people think like this, especially outside of Luxembourg. When they talk about Luxembourg, they should know the marathon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Putting the marathon on hold, what are some of the other things that comes to your mind when you think of Luxembourg?
Duke's Day.
Duke's Day.
When we came on our recce visit, and everyone said, don't go to Luxembourg, it's so quiet, it's like really boring. And we came on our recce visit to look around Luxembourg, and it was Duke's Night. And we went out into the city, and there's just like parties everywhere, and thought, this is the most insane city we've been to in the world. Yeah. But obviously, it's a bit of a one-off.
And then a few weeks, later, you've got the Jazz and Blues is a cracking night in Luxembourg. You've also got the stadium. There's always a cracking night.
I've never experienced that, though.
You've never experienced the Jazz and Blues?
No. When is that?
You're probably back in your native America, brother.
This is true, but now I'm here to stay. So, summer I'm here.
Here he is.
So when's the Jazz and the Blues?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's... What I do know is that it is after the most important... Yeah. Luxembourg ING Marathon.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
That's what you're here for.
I think we are the first big of the big events in summer, aren't we?
We start. Yeah. I've run one of them, not the marathon, but I've run the halves, and I've run one when it's very, very hot.
Ah, yeah, I remember. Oh. It must have been 18 or 19. And oh. I even told the people on radio, please, please give the runners water. It was so incredibly hot. We had like, we were starting at 7, it was still 30 degrees.
Yeah. One of the nice things they do, particularly when you come through Limpetsburg, they get their hoses out and they're pleasure.
And I told them on radio, not on the shoes.
Yeah, but one of the I'm going to tell you about a dangerous point. Health and safety alert! I bet you've got all these or every corner covered. When you come into the shaded area, which is the park, the glassy park, there's a few banana skins. A mate of mine hit a banana skin.
Banana skin.
Yeah, actual banana skin. Oh no, actually, it was an orange. It was an orange skin.
And he
went ass up directly on his back, had a bit of a swollen. So what we did, we kindly stopped in at the time it was a refreshment area, an urban bar. We had a jar and we almost jumped through the crowd and then we got on our merrily way, which wasn't so good because it's the latter part of the marathon or latter parts of the stage, in my case a half marathon, which is I don't know, we almost have to have a name for this. Almost like not Henman's Horde, but the road to hell, like the final furlong, has to be the nastiest finish to any marathon in all of the world.
Going up Kirchberg again, but it's what we started a few years ago. I don't know when you have been running. We started a big party at Philharmonie on the way back because we said, you know, you start this hill. It's Kirchberg. So it's a, we have Kirchberg, we have Limpertsberg. So it's Berg is hill. So you have so many hills.
There we go, Berg's hill.
Yeah.
Yes, Berg. What yes. a name. We've got it.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a party there, and we even give free beer. And the funny story,
it was won't pay for it.
Yeah, it was meant to be alcohol-free beer. But our provider, Diekirch, in the first year we did it, they didn't remember it should be alcohol-free.
Oh, no.
And we had signs, free alcohol-free beer, and they just made free beer out of the big signs.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. I mean, pleasant I'm surprise. Just really, really curious. And can we just go back to day one? When was that moment in your head that it went, Dick Marathon Luxembourg?
Again, it was beer. Because I was sitting, true story, I was sitting in a bar in Cologne with a friend of mine, and she said, I have to stop drinking, I have to work for the marathon in Düsseldorf tomorrow. Düsseldorf, you know, in Germany.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I said, what is marathon? And that was 2003. I really didn't know. And she said, there's crazy people running 42 kilometers. And I said, that's strange, we don't have that in Luxembourg. And then I, a week later, I was in the train going to Berlin, and I was checking marathons, and I saw that ING was title sponsor of New York Marathon. And I wrote them a letter, and they invited me a week later.
What, so soon?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm involved in a little bit of it.
I tell you the rest of the story. I came there, and it was like in a movie. There was a table, you know, I came into the room. The table, it seemed like 20 meters long. They were sitting on one hand, I on the other hand. And they said, yeah, we read your concept. It's very nice. Can we be title sponsors? €200,000, okay. First sentence. It's no joke. First sentence. And I was sitting there having no clue of anything. And I just said, I think I have to think about it. I will call you next week. I got off my chair, went out of the room, went into the elevator and thought, there's cameras here. Don't laugh. I went into my car, drove around the corner and started laughing. And it's a true story. And this is how it all started.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a boss move. You come in there and you tell them, wait, I have to think about it. They offer you €200,000 and you're just like, oh, it's a joke.
The true story is that I called them a week later and said, it's not enough.
Yeah. Okay, even bigger.
And the nice story is since then, ING is our partner and they are a good partner.
Yeah.
Really good partner.
They have to be, and you have to be a good partner as well, Eric, because they're continuing to support an event, and you know it takes two people to make a relationship, right?
Yeah, the first year after the first marathon, the CEO invited me for dinner, and he said, Eric, we have a big problem. Everybody knows ING now, but everybody thinks it's the marathon. Nobody knows it's a bank.
Yeah, this is true.
The next year we completely changed how we talked about ING Marathon, how we integrated the bank and the visibility and things like this.
Honestly, I did think it was just a marathon back when I was younger, honestly. Yeah. But now I know, it's a bank.
Yeah.
But
you're going to have to, walk the walk, run the run.
Run the run, walk the walk.
Well, you've been talking about, how's your training been going on for this event and 31 more sleeps, by the way?
31 more sleeps? We're running the ING marathon.
Well, I was listening to episode 285.
I don't know.
You were telling Hannah that you're going to win one of these marathons.
Did I say win?
You said you were going to win the $48,000 that you could win at the London Marathon.
Oh, that is right. Yeah, when you put money on the line, then you
give him.
Then I get serious.
We have to tame the shortcuts.
Yeah, exactly.
I know the training.
You know the shortcuts?
I know where I know everything. I organized the marathon. I know where you could have.
We'll have a beer after the show.
But you shouldn't. Who set the route of the marathon?
Me.
And why did you go for Kirchberg Hill to finish?
You have to have a place where everybody can easily go and everybody can easily drive away again. So you have to do it on the edge of a city. You cannot go to the city center. You could never finish in Knurdla, for example, because how do you get all the people out again?
I noticed that you finished on the closer to the German side of Luxembourg, Luxembourgville.
No. You know I'm a fan of Luxembourg. I'm a fan of Luxembourg City.
Yeah. What a beautiful city! What a beautiful city it is!
Oh, yes.
And we're just talking about it before. In fact, sorry, with you, Adam, a bit about Luxembourg. You know, people can be so damn negative about incredible, beautiful city. If you get a tourist that comes into the city, and then you were to record every tourist that comes through, even on those grey, horrible days that we have, they still enjoy and they still see this beauty or this beautiful country that we have.
I tell you a story. I go to almost 20 expos every year, me and my colleagues, so where we make promotion for Luxembourg Marathon. And the people ask, oh, do I have to bring, I think you call it black money, you know, the cash money. Do I have to pay in cash because it's Luxembourg, because of the banks? And I say, no, come, see, and then you judge. And the people come here, and afterwards, lots of people write me an email, and they say, I never knew Luxembourg is so, so beautiful. Free public traffic. You know, there's so many things that are so good, and in Luxembourg, nobody talks about it. Nobody.
Yeah, people don't really know.
Even today. I was coming up and my car failed its control technique.
Did it today?
Yesterday.
Oh. It's a little bit like Aston Villa trying to qualify for...
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Aston Villa, sorry, trying to get through on an FA Cup.
That Crystal Palace bump, speed bump.
So I didn't get the chance to come to the radio station in my suit or whatever because I had to jump on my bike. But I'm there cycling. I'm thinking, you know, it's a downside to have to cycle here because I haven't got the car. But cycling up here, I'm thinking, this is such a nice bike ride.
Yeah.
Like across the city, there's maybe two parts where I've actually got to contend with traffic, bike lanes all the way. It's absolutely perfect. Like, what a first world problem to have to cycle into RTL.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's made for it, honestly.
Yeah, perfect. City, yeah. And you're a cyclist as well.
Yeah, right? I'm not a runner. I have a bike. This is why I don't run. I don't have to run. I have a bike. But it's... I think the Luxembourg Marathon is so different from other marathons because I am not a runner myself. Because from my original, I'm a photographer. So I try to make a nice event. A nice event that is sportive, yes, but it is event as well. It has to, everything has to look good. Everything, you know, the course has to be nice. Sometimes I think you could make it a little bit more flat, but you would miss so many things. Mm-hmm. Not having the Petrus Valley, for example, the Petrus Valley in it would be such a shame because it's so wonderful. But you have to go down, and after you have gone down, you have to go up again. It's a valley, and you have a berg.
Exactly.
Just absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Hey, listen, just very briefly, I want to try and touch into a couple of other sports that have been going. You know, I've just quickly touched onto the football there. We've got a few things to rattle his cage with, that's for sure, haven't we, Jordan?
I had to come on this episode.
Really interesting. Really interesting. It was more than interesting because it was a complete smash in the park, one would say, in the basketball. And we all will, Jordan, this weekend. And we have got the. What do you call a trio person? A trio, right? A trioman? A trio?
Trillion? No.
A trio? A treverer.
Treverer. Treverer. Okay. As a treverer, did you ever support TBB Trier down at the arena?
No, I have been once at a game, but you know, I'm more the organizer. I'm more behind the scenes. And you know, when I'm, for example, my second place where I sometimes live is Mallorca, and I always go to see their games because, you know, there's no hooligans, there's no nothing. Yeah, it's just a game, and I can't see everything. I can go behind the scenes. That's what I like.
Yeah, and when you go to one of these games, do you sometimes look around not only at the game itself and think, how does all this function? How
I
does
only
this work?
Look at this.
Yeah. His mind is working always nonstop, right?
Yeah. How and I guess it's all about and I guess well, that's not all. Well, it is a big part of it is what offsets the actual game itself, the entertainment.
And everything that is around. For example, last time there was, I had seen it before, but I forgot about it. You know these kissing cameras?
The kiss cameras.
Oh, yeah, the kiss cameras.
Love the kiss cameras.
And I said, hey, that's what we should have on Klassier on Knurla. That would be fun.
Yeah very good.
This is okay.
All right,
you give me some ideas.
For those of you that are listening, you know, for those of you that are listening, it's very funny. Get yourself to Knurla and...
So you can see, sometimes I don't take it so serious with just running and just sports and just fast times. Luxembourg is not a race where you can be very fast. That's absolutely clear. And... You know, when before the pandemic, we always invited very fast runners to come to Luxembourg, Ethiopia, Kenya, you know, these guys who can really, really run fast. But anyway, in Luxembourg, it's so hilly and so many curves. if they go 2 hours 12 or even 2 hours 10, who cares? You know, world record is 2 hours 1 minute. So who would care when Luxembourg runs, somebody runs 2 hours 10? So we said, we keep the prize money and we even make it higher. And we keep it open for everybody who's running. And I always said, maybe we have a European, again, standing on the podium. That sounds very racist. But to be honest, these running nations, Ethiopia and Kenya, they're just faster. And we cannot compete.
We just watched them in London and it was just... Yeah. It was just
Could we get a Luxembourg? Could we be a home hero? Yeah. Is there someone we should be cheering on? I think last year when I was watching, there was someone fairly near the front that had the green and white stripes, which I think is like Celtic decoche or something. Is there someone that has a chance?
Yeah, we have. Before the pandemic, we did it like we had, you know, the somebody who was in the federation, the sports federation. We had a special prize for them. Now we said no, we make it everybody who lives in Luxembourg. They have a green bar on their start number. When you're in the city and you see the marathon, if they have a marathon start number and the green bar on the side, it means they live in Luxembourg or they live in Luxembourg. And we give a prize for the fastest in Luxembourg living person. Because otherwise it wouldn't be fair. It can be, you know.
Yeah. That's a unique idea.
There's lots of, even with the main marathon, there's a couple of races going on.
Right.
There's the overall race, there's the women's race, cool. there's a fastest Luxembourgish woman, there's a fastest Luxembourgish man.
And you have the team runs, you know, you can do the complete race with four people. We even have a race just 5 kilometers and you start with three people and you stay with three people and finish together. It's just about the fun of running.
Right.
It's not only always competition. It's about the fun. Do something, go on the street and run.
And are you a runner yourself or are you...
I'm a biker.
You're a biker.
Yes. I'm a mountain biker.
But when you think of actually the people that go, you know, like the fast runners, they always have a chief on a bike nearby, right, with the whistle and making sure that they're keeping
true,
up. So
that's really your
role. So where would we... Not that we're going to come and hunt you down on the marathon because you've got many things to do, but where would we find you during the race? Where's your location? I mean, you can't be all around this 42 course. I mean, where are you?
I'm always at the finish line. That's my area. Finish line and the next meters behind. It's a very important place. And I always want to be there and check everything.
And that's the HQ. I'm guessing that's the HQ for the day, headquarters for the
day. No. HQ is somewhere else. I'm not allowed to tell where it is.
Sure.
There is an HQ. But for the start, I'm always at the start line, of course. And another funny story. It turned out to be funny. It could have not been funny. 2019, I was going to the start and it was a little bit earlier than normal because normally I'm always like 1 minute before the start, I jump onto the bus and we give the start shot or the mayor gives the start shot. And I was like 5 minutes. I still had 5 minutes. I said, what do I do now? And I said, come on, I'll go and see the first 100 meters of the race. I never did that. And I was walking there. And after 100 meters, somebody had blocked the complete street with fences. And I saw it. And I called via walkie-talkie everybody I could achieve to help me unblock it. Because if a few minutes later the start shot would have gone, the race would have ended after 100 meters.
Catastrophe. Oh, wow. That would be all in the... that would be more than just in Luxembourg press. That's for...
Definitely. Worldwide press.
Wow. That is a...
So since then we have... Everywhere I have my eyes to see if everything is...
Hey, Eric, just a little bit later in the show, we're going to come on to you. We're going to call it, in this case, I'm going to personally call it the Andrew. Do you have an Andrew? And I'm going to tell you a little bit why now, and that's because there's an Andrew that Jordan has for his basket team, Ash, and Andrew is pretty much, he is the man. He's a really special guy, and he's a little bit like yourself. If he will see things in advance, a potential issue, a potential problem, and he'll go and solve these problems. And when there's a player down, Andrew's first on the scene. He's not taking things over the top. He just stands back a little bit, assesses, make sure that the right medical staff can get to him. And Andrew is really, when Jordan throws his towel to the side, Andrew's there. It's up. It's on the back of this chair. He's a real star. And every organizer or event manager in this case, they always have an Andrew. It's not always the same Andrew, but it's someone every year that does something special. I'm going to tell you another story when we come back. But have a think about it if you might have someone that could be an Andrew, Eric.
My team is my Andrew.
Yeah, that's
you know, event people smell something other people don't smell. And you smell that something happens. And my team smells it.
So his team smells it. Absolutely awesome. Hey, it's episode 287. Yes. Every show, Eric, we have a stat fact in sport. And for today, our stat fact in sport is 287. How did you guys get on?
I got one for you guys.
You got one for us?
I had a shocker.
Did you get a shocker?
I got one, but it's a shocker.
You got one, and it's a shocker.
You guys are always the best. You outshine. I'm terrible.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4.
What?
They're pretty crap ones, though. Okay, and today, I had to think a little bit outside the box.
Ah, we like that.
I got annoyed because one of the things I always Google is like world record 287 and the number. And one of the ones that came up with was that Roger Federer broke the record for the number of times being number one, being number one for 287, more than I think it was Pete Sampras or someone.
Yeah.
But then obviously he's done even more now. It's gone. The record, you know.
Yes. Yeah,
so I struggled.
So, okay, do you want to hit me with your rubbish 287 stat?
Rubbish.
Fine. Have you ever heard, okay, I'll go for it. Have you ever heard of the Three Peaks Challenge?
Yes, I have, in the north. Of England, of the north of England and Scotland, actually.
And Wales. It's the Three Peaks Challenge is the three highest mountains.
Yeah, can hills. You tell me that they call them, there's a funny name for it as well. They call them, there's a Scottish name. They don't call them mountains or hills. There's a funny name.
Scottish mountains called Munros.
Munros, there we go.
So the idea of the Three Peaks Challenge, so it's Ben Nevis in Scotland, Snowdon in Wales, yes, and Scafell Pike in the Lake District.
Okay, go on.
The idea is you go up and down the three mountains, hills, Munros, within 24 hours. That's the challenge people do.
Okay, yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
So this is the Three Peaks Challenge, but done slightly differently, because normally you'll drive from one to the other. There's 720 kilometres between them. So these three women broke the record for the Three Peaks Challenge by bike. So they cycled between each of them.
Oh, phenomenal.
That's quite great. Impressive. So they did it. They broke the record by 20 hours and did it in 67 hours. That's not just break. That's not just breaking the record. Wow. That's absolutely smashing.
I mean, you can't be asleep. You mean you'll be?
They'll not be sleeping much.
They'll be taking their nap, but that'll be it. Yeah. That is phenomenal.
And the longest ride on that journey was 287 kilometres between the Snowdon Walk and Ambleside to do Scafell Pike.
There we go. Okay, that's not a rubbish stat, by the way. That's damn good.
It's a good story. The link to 287 is a little bit tenuous, but it's still cool.
It's about the story.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is about the story. Well,
I can throw stats and facts, basically
look at it. I've got to come up with some pretty good stories because that's a cracker. What did you go for, mate?
Me, this one, it hit home. You know, I always like to bring in the American side of it.
Okay, so. Home. I was thinking Chelsea for a minute.
Not yet. No, this one was, you guys know the football QB legend, Brett Favre. Have you heard of Brett Favre? No? Wranglers, jeans? No?
No.
American football, I think
Texas, and I think Rodeo.
What team?
Well, the Green Bay Packers.
That's a long time ago then, right?
Not too long ago, because he played for the Vikings in 2010.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, in his final season there, which was, you know, the big rival. So it was a bit of a traitor there. But he made 287 consecutive starts from 1992 to 2010, and for a quarterback, that's
phenomenal.
Yeah, if you don't watch football
from what year? 1992
to 2010.
But not,
that's like 19 years.
Yeah,
with not being injured.
Yeah, without being injured.
I mean, how the heck can you do that?
He's got some good linemen. And in that period,
they'll be playing in snow in some of that time, right? So the conditions will be very
for Green
very
Bay.
Variable.
Yeah, not to miss a match like
something
that.
Something popped up on Instagram it was like a kicker or someone, and it had them mic'd up.
Yeah.
So when, you know, he's there and he kicks it, and then these people just come and flatten him, and you hear him get flattened, and then he's just got this mic in his helmet just going, yeah, I'm okay. And he goes back to the sideline and people going, how are you doing? He goes, oh yeah, that was a good hit. Lunatics play that game.
You compare the two, rugby and American football, but...
Yeah, but the way you tackle in rugby, you kind of hold on to someone and fall. You don't really have that same impact.
You have a responsibility.
If you don't grab hold of them, you're sent off. So yeah. The fact that you almost have to join your bodies together as you tackle them, yeah. Whereas in American football, it's just, you're just like
slaughterhouse. You can't shoulder barge, for example, no. In rugby. You can't. You'll get penalised sent off.
Exactly. Like on the last show, I was telling the guys about there was a show, the sports science show back in the day, and they did like a experiment on the speed to compare what a running back. The impact of a running back, you know, in his daily, each hit that he takes. And it was around like a 20 mile an hour car crash being in.
Like a G-force on that, mate. That's
imagine just like, you know, continuously. And those guys running, you know, sometimes 15, 20 times a game is going through that.
So glad I played squash.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
287.
287. There we go. So here's a couple of one. I got a bit of a rubbish one. So Barry Bonds has got the most home runs with 762.
Yeah, but has that got an asterisk over it?
Because of his...
He's a drug cheat, isn't he?
He was a little juicer.
Okay.
Oh, and let's come
down a little bit. Babe Ruth, 704. Babe Ruth in third place, 714 home runs. I had a look, was 200 and who's hit 287 home runs, and actually there's four people, and it is all the way down to 197 athletes or players have hit more than 287 home runs. That is, for me, that is pretty phenomenal. It's not a great stat, I know, but it's still pretty phenomenal. Again, I've been using that word quite a bit tonight. Anthony, do you know his first name, the football player that played for Manchester United? He then went off to play for Real Betis, Anthony.
Oh, no.
No, you don't know Mike, because he...
Isn't his first name's not Anthony?
Is it not Anthony? It was family name, but Brazilian, isn't he?
Yeah.
So this year he's now got switched to Real Betis, and in the second game he scored, and actually, which was his first league goal, and it actually took him 287 days before he got a goal, which was just goes to show how poor Man United were.
Ouch. Yeah, because once he left Man United, everybody, it seems to be the common theme is that when they leave Man United now that
they can go and score and play
their form changes.
Exactly. If I use the 28th of July, which is 28/7, and in the US, do you know what national day it is?
In which day?
In which day? Not in 28th of the 7th, 28th of July. 287.
My Americanism is being challenged.
No, you don't worry. It is, because it's not such a big sport in the US. It is for females at university, and it is National Soccer Day. Started in 1994.
Okay.
That's a good stat, but I'm going to call foul on it. Because the Americans always put the month first and then the day, so it'd be 7-28.
Very true. They do indeed. They do. Yeah.
That'll be a really good start. Okay, 400 episodes time.
Let's keep to tonight's theme then. If 287. If you ran 6.5 Luxembourg marathons, you would have ran how many kilometers?
It could come like this. But anyway, I thought you have to invite me again, because I had the number, which is 460. This is in how many years?
460. Well, I hope you're still at 460. I still hope you're doing it. We're at 287 in 3 years.
Because
there we go.
This is the length of my starting field. You know, the people before the start line, they have to row up. They're standing there to start to get to the start. It's 460 meters long. It's a big curve, and it takes you like 25 minutes. If you are the last runner in this field, it takes you 25 minutes to go to the start.
It does. I know, because I've been up on the banks on the fields. I know it takes a little while to get across the line. If you've got a man in your relay team that's waiting for you, he's 25 minutes after everybody else. What's happened?
Yeah. I think Eric, if you time it, you'll find it takes 28.7 minutes to get from the back to the front, and then it's a 287 stat.
Nice work. Now, I just mentioned before that we have got about an Andrew, and telling you before the show, I have a friend that he's worked for FIFA as an event manager, and he's put on, let's say, World Cups. He's done the Rugby World Cup. He's done a lot of the sevens, you know, like the party atmosphere and running the sevens. And he was telling me he's been on one of the episodes in the first 100. He was telling on here about a story about a chap in Africa, in Kenya. I've got a funny feeling it was this World Cup. And he asked this guy if his responsibility was to look after the corner flags. And if anything happened to a corner flag, he knew where the door was to get these corner flags. But we had to have this door locked. And so they had a place where he could get the key. Everything was all known for this guy. Lo and behold, during one of the events, a corner flag broke. And so very quickly he saw it and he ran like the wind down the sideline into the tunnel, into the storeroom to find the key. The key wasn't there. And this guy did everything, asked a few people, didn't do anything. So Steve was aware because he was on the comms, but like you would be on the comms through on race day, you'll know things that are happening very, very quick. Steve was on the comms, and within on a walkie-talkie, he heard this enormous thump. This guy had just ran through the door, knocked the door down. To go in and get this corner flag, to get that, to run back and put it. He came out and he was bruised and he was battered, his arms going down. And it reminded me, which is why I call the Andrew, he would do anything for his team.
He would do that.
Now, you've got a number of people. You've got an army of volunteers. Not enough. I might like to add, you know, not enough. So if anyone's
500, still 100 missing. Yeah.
Still 100 missing. So if there's anybody listening to this show, get in touch with us directly. Let's talk sport. We'll put you in contact with Eric. Yeah. Because we really need these volunteers.
Without volunteers, no more events.
No more events. So we really need you to make Luxembourg happen, as they say. But has there been instances within your history of Luxembourg, within this marathon, is there anyone that you're able to point out? I mean, I know you've got an army of great people around you, but have you had sort of Andrew moments, let's call them that, where someone that would literally run through a door for you?
The first marathon, I will always remember it. I was, you know, like, again, 1 minute before the start, I go to our office. At that time, we had our pistol for the start. We had it in our office. I went there, the pistol was gone. And I said, good God. And then you try to go via walkie-talkie, but it's so loud, nobody hears you.
Yeah.
And I thought, I what shall I do now? Shall I go and just clap in my hand or whatever? I went to the bus. And Angie, one of my people working with me, she's still working with me, thanks God. She was there on a nice cushion. She had the pistol waiting for me.
God, a cushion.
It was and it's really like your heart's going down. And, but things like this always happen. It's always like things happening last minute.
Because the other thing, we know we cannot think of everything. You know, we know if you've got family, you've got a job, you're trying to think and you're thinking of many things, you always think, and then you know, shit does happen and accidents do happen, and you've got to have contingencies of how these come into play. You said you use 1,400 volunteers for the Luxembourg Marathon.
For everything, from the refreshment points, for the street marshals, you know, they block the streets. Yeah. They are my eyes on the track. Yeah. See what's happening.
So how do you find 1,400?
I have three people just taking care of that. Three people only for that all year long, trying to get the people to help us. And we do one thing: we say every club, you know, football club, whatever, every club that gives us 15 volunteers, they can make a booth on the track and sell food and drinks. This is how we get the volunteers, and then the same. Yeah. Side, we make our atmosphere, because you know, this club, they know people, they come to drink and to eat, and they have another 100 people on the track.
Exactly,
this is the way it works.
I think I have to talk to Baskadesh about setting up. Yeah. Have you worked with them before?
No.
Okay,
well, you might have your very own Andrew.
He's my fourth person looking for volunteers.
You can start right
away. There we go. Exactly. Listen, I cannot help myself, because my colleague to my right has got this sky blue and claret shirt on, and I just cannot help myself, because the FA Cup was last week. FA Cup is it's arguably one of the most greatest cups to play for, isn't it? And tell us all about it, Adam.
I'm sorry. Push the mic away.
So the reason we haven't won it since 1957 is, I would like to say, because we deprioritise it, but because we've been absolutely crap when it matters. I was all excited. We thought this year was going to be the year for Aston Villa. All the big teams had fallen away. Liverpool had fallen away.
I did too, mate. I was
so you're in there. Then we came up and then we were drawing the draws there. It's like, oh, do you want Forest, who are doing really well? The Kiwi, Chris Wood, scoring goals for fun. You don't want them. You don't want Man City, Crystal Palace. That's the easy one, isn't it? And you sort of think, we haven't beat Crystal Palace for 2 years. They're a bit of a bogey team.
Oh, really? They're a bogey team. Oh, I didn't know that.
Didn't I?
Yeah, just the last couple of seasons. And they've had the doing of us, and they did it again.
They were good.
I was texting my mate going down. He showed me the pictures of him with his son and having a great time. And then the texts stopped. And I tell you what was really impressive, to get a bit kind of geeky in football nerd tactics. Emery likes to control the game. So he likes to have the ball and control the football all the time. And if you watch that game back, for the first half an hour, Crystal Palace went, yeah, you have the ball. You pass it around the back. Don't do anything. And then I'm sure it was pre-planned. On 30 minutes, suddenly they chase down this ball. Konsa gets a knock. Luckily, we get a free kick and they score. Disallowed VAR because he got fouled. And then 30 seconds later, Mateta charges down the ball. And they decided, let's let him have the ball. And then after 30 minutes, we'll start chasing them. And the Villa players couldn't, they were so used to that pace of, I've got the ball, I'm taking my time. They just didn't readjust to, oh my God, the pace of the game has changed. And that change of pace unsettled the team. And from then on, I hate to admit it, there was only going to be one winner. It wasn't going to be Aston Villa.
There was a winner, mate. The reason why I also wanted to touch on that, because that flows into another subject, which is sport and the history in the world today. Oh. On this day, 1938, here's a really interesting one. It was the first televised FA Cup final.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you know who played in that?
I saw that in the notes.
Two proper football teams.
What?
Well, Huddersfield Town's one.
Oh, Huddersfield.
And Preston North End.
Tell us about it. What do you know about Preston North End?
Preston North End, they're the first team ever to do the...
Double?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, Preston there North we go.
Every Preston North End were the first team to do the double, and the second team was...
What happened to North Preston North End? Because every now and then you sort of see them bobble up, but they're just not
really in the championship or in the league.
I think floating down the championship at the bottom.
The mills and recession hit. You know, the mills stopped operating in the north of England in the late 1800s. I mean, that's the essence of it. In the late 1800s. It was a huge powerhouse of the game up in the north. All the people playing football, work until lunchtime on a Saturday afternoon. That was football, these massive economy up there. The money comes out of it. All the money gets pulled into London over the next 100 years and those football clubs are
dying. We used to have a school exchange with a Preston high school, and that's where that two hockey players, two rugby players would go over to Preston, and then and two Preston college would come over to our college.
There's a good Netflix show, I've forgotten what it's called, but it's about the formation of football in like the late 1800s, and these players get brought down from Scotland, because in England they used to run with the ball all the time, they never pass it, and Scotland brought to England the passing game. They employed, in inverted commas, these Scottish people to work in the mill, and they started winning the FA Cup, and all the toffs down south didn't like it.
Toffs,
it was a gentleman's game. I know you don't like toffs, Nathan.
It's a good word. No, I don't like toffs. That's a very, very good word.
American.
But they do sound a little bit funny toff. Up north, don't they?
Do you know what a toff is, Eric?
No.
Yeah, see,
what's a toff?
A toff is a little bit...
it's posh.
It is posh.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good word.
A posh.
The toffs can be a bit snotty as well,
can't
they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you say snooty or snotty?
Snooty,
yeah.
And they speak the Queen's English. And
They can look down on
others.
Okay. Upper class, look down on the working class.
And you
look down on the middle class.
He's sort of in the middle. He's a bit in the middle, really, aren't you?
I'm in the middle.
In the middle,
but then went to Oxbridge, so people think I'm posher than I am.
But they do talk a bit funny in the north.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Manchester. Yeah. That accent. Yeah.
And a little bit, but north of that. And a crossover in York. So they are
the Bavarians.
There you go. Exactly.
There you go.
But the Trevet, Trevera, yeah. The Trevera, they speak very close dialect with Luxembourgish, yeah. No?
Not a little bit north, like Eifel, where I'm from. Eifel is a part, you know, north of Trier, and our dialect is similar to Luxembourgish. So if somebody talks Luxembourgish to me, it's like I can understand every word.
Wow. Yeah, well, you have to understand every word because a lot of the time you're working with the VDL, Ville de Luxembourg. Yeah.
I always make them talk Luxembourgish with me because anyway, it's, you know, for me it's no difference if they talk. Sometimes I don't even know if they talk Luxembourgish or German.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Now, go through because there's so many things that happen in the Luxembourg Marathon. Like, just think of all those banners that are around on the side, you know, VDL, ING, of course. I mean, just there's a little man or a little woman that's putting these banners up around on these things. Who's doing this?
Yeah, we have a team of 20 people just doing that, and they are organized like a little mill. You know, they have a plan and they know exactly when to hang it up, when to hang it down. Like they go through Grand Rue like a machine on both sides, zack, 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 they hang them up. And they put them down again. They are all sorted, and they go with vans. They go to the different sites, and then they put them out. And
they'll be the same ones from they must be recycling them
We recycle everything that is possible, and we make our sponsors use material that they can use for not just 1 year but longer. And they take like 3 days just, you know, the sponsors come bring the material, they put it out and they measure it, how long is it, and they check the quality, and then they put everything together and go out. And there's a huge map of the city where you just see the banners.
Did you plan it all yourself? I mean, you were in a pub talking to a friend. Did you just work out you needed to do this?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like the main. Anyone that's run, I mean, I've run smaller events and I've been involved, fortunately, with Steve, who's been working and have conversations. So I've got a little idea of let's say, larger events. But it's like a matrix.
Yeah.
It's like, there's not really a triangular flow chart. No. This is just, it's more like, well, what do you call those atoms where you've got like a, and then they've got all these split off?
We have a plan for the complete year, and once in the year, normally in January, we just go through it again and check, you know, especially the last days. It takes us a week to go through this plan. Only, you know, minute by minute, especially the last day, second by second on the last day, what has to be done. And my team on the day itself, my main team is 60 people just doing that.
Wow. That's phenomenal. So the goal is not to get them the quickest marathon. There's a lot of organization. It's participation, it must be a bit of a goal.
Yeah.
There's lots of different bits. I think we've discovered the different events of the marathon. Yeah.
Yeah. Berlin is like a very fast one. Frankfurt always tries to be the very fast one, for example, in Europe. Mm-hmm. Paris has always been very fast, but it's a little bit too hilly again. Then you have like Valencia, they are coming up in the last years, mm-hmm. being very flat. It's always in December and good weather and good temperatures, not too hot, not too cold.
So the four-person, like 10 kilometers each, effectively, to do the marathon as a team, is that unique to the Luxembourg marathon?
No. You have it in other races as well. It's a team, classical team run.
Okay. And then the team run of three people doing 5K?
That's something we did the first time here in Luxembourg because I wanted to get more people running. If you tell people 10 kilometers, for them it's a lot. If you tell them 5 kilometers and you do it with friends, it's something you can do after work.
That's something.
What we do is, you know, some time ago, I all the kids, they get bigger and bigger. I thought we have to do something. And I was talking to sport teachers and I told them, listen, I give you free slots and we let the kids run just 1 kilometer. And 42 kids make a team run and they run the marathon. And it was always the teachers who said, no, on the weekend, I don't have time. And then I got a charity organization into it. And I went there again and I said, listen, if you don't do it now, you don't do it for the charity organization, is it still okay? And then they said, okay, we do it. And we started 3 years ago and we had just had three schools. And last year we already had seven. And it's going up and up and up. So the kids really like it.
So they're part of that party event as well.
Yeah. And one girl were doing the first time in her life 1 kilometer the year after she was running half marathon.
Really?
And you get the kids doing that. To tell you the truth, I was good in school, but the worst thing was for me sports. I always had the worst grade in sports, really. I was good in mathematics.
Now,
in,
I was organizing.
In everything. Because you're talking with three other people that were probably completely the opposite. Went to school to eat my lunch and play for the rugby team.
And this is why I know how it is when you are in a sports class and you have a team game and you are the last one sitting on the bench. And nobody wants you to be in your team. And I said, you have to break that. Yeah. And
like
this is
that,
why they run
a breakdown cycle. That's definitely. I just saw they had a marathon for kids in Amsterdam or Amsterdam or Rotterdam, I believe. Yeah, right. Recently, but question I had was that I was reading an article of yours about the uniqueness of I guess that Luxembourgish marathon is in the evening. It's at night. And is that a unique thing across other?
There is marathons. Like five or six in the world.
Five or six only in the world. Okay.
One is in a very small one is in Finland, and we have to go there. But it's very like 500 people. Yeah.
There's Why another one. Surprise me.
another one somewhere in India. But there's big ones like Bilbao.
Bilbao. Okay. Bilbao is at night. Yeah.
Las Vegas.
Ah, Las Vegas.
And Singapore. Vegas.
Yeah.
And what I initiated this year is. You know, maybe you know the majors. The majors is, you know, New York, Boston, the big ones, the big guys. And if you ran all their races, you get a special medal. And I said, we do the same thing now for night marathons.
Right.
And we call it the superstars. So the superstars is Bilbao, Las Vegas, Singapore, and Luxembourg.
Very cool.
And if you ran all of them, you get a very nice medal and you are a superstar.
I love that.
Wow, nice touch. Yeah. Well done from the man himself, from the brain, the brainchild.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really... that's
really unique. That's a unique idea. Was it? Yeah, did it come up to you just by another beer? You're having a beer, and it's like,
here's my medicine. I was born in Bitburg, and you know Bitburg.
Exactly.
Okay, there it is.
It's a little bit like Ernst Hemingway. You know, you think outside the box, don't you? When you
creative juices get going.
Yep. What about? Was it you that mentioned something about a fat club?
No, I think that was getting the kids moving.
Was it getting the kids moving?
Yeah. So I think you were, we were talking off air at some point, and you were talking about your concern that kids aren't as active as they used to be, and how do you get kids involved?
There's a class in the Reha Center. You know, of kids, they really have problems because they really have some kilograms too much. And for them, it was always like they had to go there because they have too many kilograms. You know, everybody was mobbing them. And now they have a goal. They go there because they run the marathon. That is something else. You know, it's really different if you have to go there because you have kilograms or if you are training for something. And it works. And I hope so much that one day I will see one of these kids, you know, like... running in my marathon a real race.
Yeah,
but heartfelt, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, how many athletes will we be? You know, call them athletes. Will we be expecting to make the starting line this year?
17,000. I stopped at 17,000. We could have had 19,000.
My next question. Yeah. Is there a limitation?
I make myself the limitation. My company is called Step by Step.
Yes.
So I always just go little steps up because finishing inside a big hall like Lux Expo or finishes inside is so, so complicated. And it's so, and the city is, the streets are small and it's, everything is very delicate. And you cannot just go, okay, last year we had 15,000, next year we go to 20. Mm-hmm. And the step would just be too big.
Yeah.
Because it was just recently, I think I saw that, 2023, it was 14,000, and now it's grown to 17,000.
I started with 6,000.
6,000,
In 2006.
So it's grown step by step.
So almost three times as much as it was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So maybe if it continues the success that it continues, that snake, that start line, it won't be 25 minutes, it'll be... No. Yeah.
we will start in Trier.
Trier. Yeah, Luxembourg.
Come on. Now, is there something you're allowed to tell us that was what's to look forward to? Apart, I mean, there's one thing that I'm looking forward to, and that's Kirchberg Hill. That's for sure, because I get my free beer. Rather, I'm not going to run.
You just take the beer.
I'll take the beer. I know where to go and to go and stand. Is there any other little tricks that we might not know apart from Kirchberg Hill?
Hidden gems.
Where's a favourite point of yours in the race?
Yeah.
If you weren't able to be, let's say, where would you want to be? Where's the spot to be?
I would go to Knurla or to Plaskyom. I would go to Klassi. I would go to all these little parties in the little village. You know, these home parties, I like them. Oh, I think I would go to one.
Have you done the even the half marathon, Adam?
I've watched lots of people. I've marshalled and I've watched, but
He's been volunteering.
I've done three of them, and it is good fun. It takes everything out of the distance, because there is nonstop party after party, and you're just running through. So you think you've passed some band playing, I don't know, like African music on the drums, and then all of a sudden, as you get out of that, it's like a DJ mix. You fade into something else, and then when you come in through the first sort of checkpoint, which is on the glacis, isn't it? When you start heading into Limpetsburg, there's all the house parties, and that's when you get the people with the hose. It's really Limpetsburg's very special.
I have
for that,
500 musicians on the track.
500 musicians.
Whoa,
incredible!
I have like every half a kilo, every 500 meters. Just somebody, you know, with a guitar, with a, you know, samba bands and jazz bands and whatever.
It's incredible. That was one of the things that I noticed.
It's one of the biggest music festivals.
Yeah. It is amongst marathons.
It's up there with the best. Listen, unfortunately, that hour has absolutely whizzed by. Let's Talk Sport, episode 287. It's been all about Eric Francois and how he puts it all together. Really, really interesting.
And Harry needs volunteers. Get in contact via the website or Let's Talk Sport.
Let's Talk Sport. We'll put you in contact. Yes. Never enough, because...
We have your crew as well.
We have one more.
We have a few ideas. We'll talk.
So absolutely brilliant. Listen, I wish you all the best of luck, because you're going to be a busy man. You're only, as I say, 31 more sleeps out from it. What's going to be a fantastic day.
Sleeps? No. 20 sleeps, 31 days.
There we go. Absolute pleasure to meet you, Eric, that's for sure. Yeah. Jordan, Adam, that's it. That's us for the wrap for episode 287. Until Sunday, it is Chur.
Ciao.